Blog Talk Radio.
How you write lyrics right there.
Yes. Good morning, Miss Corey.
Oh, I don't know if it's a good morning yet. I'm still not quite awake.
Girl, I know. I'm trying to be.
I think I left part of me somewhere asleep.
I'm wondering why my stupid Skype wasn't making any noise, because you were the first person to ding me today, and I was like, why is it not dinging? What did I do to it? But, you know, I was messing with, you know, some different sound settings and whatnot yesterday, so I was thinking maybe I did something.
Ginger?
Mm-hmm.
You know what the problem is?
That I'm a blonde.
Are you?
No.
Well, then that's not the problem. The problem is that you had crunchy stuff this morning and you didn't give me any.
I know. It was so good. Listen.
That's all right.
It's so good.
I'm going to call you at 2 o'clock in the morning, and when you answer, you're going to hear this.
Oh, so good.
And then I'm going to go, and then I'm just going to hang up. That's how it's going to go. In case you didn't know where you be, this is Lunch with Ginger and Corey. Sometimes we forget to tell you during the day because we just got to jump right in.
Sometimes we get going and we totally forget where we are, who we are, what we're doing.
See, now the vitamin is kicking in. And I'm still sleepy. So figure it out, brain. What are we going to do today? Are we going to be awake? Are we going to sleep? How is this going
to
work?
Sleep sounds really, really good. And I went to bed early last night. I think it was like 10:30, 11 o'clock, and I went to bed.
See, I didn't go to bed so much as pass out and woke up and went, it's morning? What happened?
That's yeah. Well, no, I was set to play
APB.
APB. There we go. I was set to play some APB, and then that kind of fell through. So I sat here, and I ended up talking to my sister. There we go. That's what I did. Yes, Ginger has a sister.
There's two of Ginger's running around.
No. That one is definitely a blonde. Four ways and one blonde. Yes, blonde.
I was a blonde once.
I love my sister, but she should be kept away from sharp objects and anything that might confuse her.
Apparently so should I, because I became a blonde by doing something very blonde, which is leaving color booster on for too long.
That's not good. That's not good at all.
You just so y'all know, I cannot work the blonde. I can work a lot of things, but blonde is not one of them. At least not that shade, not bleach blonde, as in white, you know, like Magneto's hair.
Ooh.
No. Yeah.
Oh, that was.
I told you that story before. That's how I got
well-educated
with wigs. That's how I became a wiggy, because you cannot go around with wiggy on. Yeah, I was getting wiggy with it. Yeah, I had to go back and try that. That was just wrong. I'm sorry, y'all. That was wrong. I apologize. I really do.
You got wiggy with it.
Yes.
I got
some exciting news.
Oh, you got some exciting news?
Yes.
What's that?
Y'all know one of my top five favorite games of all time is Shadowrun. They've officially, or actually a company called Cliffhanger Productions, has officially launched their Kickstarter for Shadowrun Online. Look out, watchdogs. Oh, this is going to be juicy. Okay, so.
That's awesome.
Jordan Wiesman, who's the creator of Shadowrun, apparently today launching a wildly successful Kickstarter, topping nearly $2 million when he did Shadowrun Returns. Remember, we told you about that a few months ago. Now, since Kickstarter sees the launch of Shadowrun Online from Austrian-based Cliffhanger Productions, who have already teamed up with Harebrained and Catalyst to create the Shadowrun universe at Shadowrun.com, by the way. Now, while Shadowrun Returns is focused primarily on providing a great single-player adventure experience, Shadowrun Online, like the tabletop, And like the game from Sega Genesis and Nintendo from back in the day, is all about experiencing the awesome world and gritty atmosphere of Shadowrun together with friends and tactical but fluid turn-based combat. Now, I can't say I like the turn-based combat. You all should really go all out with the way the game is. And I'll tell you all about the games because I know some of you are like, I don't know what the hell this is. The game basically is team-based when you play by yourself.
Okay.
And each one of your team, if you're smart, has a different thing they specialize in. Maybe you are the, I think it's a mercenary, then you have your magic person, and then you have your hacker and somebody else. I can't remember. But each of you, your job is to, you know, do whatever. The Shadowrun is going into a corporation. First, you have to break in. So you need your hacker to help you break in because they have to hack the system. Then you have your mercenary who watches to make sure if the guards do happen to notice you, they hold them off, kind of like a tank. You have your healer person that keeps the person healed and kind of throws a little magic because they have a little bit of magic. And then you got your other magic person that's full-on magic. Now, how the classes upgrade is if you are, say, a hacker, you are just like Neo in The Matrix. This is where they stole it from. This is the first time I heard the word The Matrix was not from the movie but from this game. So you plug it into your head. Yes, you plug it into your head. You go into the system. All of it is like The Matrix, the movie, where you're digitally doing all this stuff to grab whatever information you need or shut down the system so the guards don't know you're there at all, turn off all the cameras. I mean, all kinds of cool things you do. Your merc, his upgrades and body armor have to do with how much frag grenades can he be hit with, how powerful is his weapons, does he have a bionic arm, and all this kind of cool stuff. So this would make an excellent, if they would actually don't do turn-based, just give us a full-on MMO with all this information in it and give people the ability to, you know, take sides and kind of like Secret World would be excellent.
That's cool.
Do you see why I was angry when they put this crap out on Xbox? They left all this out. They gave you the classes, but you don't know what the hell you were doing. Oh, I'm a hacker. What am I supposed to do?
Oh, that's no good.
They made it a first-person shooter. Okay, I'll shoot people. Yeah. But the game is going to be available for the browser. They're saying on PC and Mac as well as Android tablets. And they said they'll throw iPad a bone too. It's being made using a 3D, Unity 3D engine. And again, they said you can take on missions alone or together. This is set in the year 2070. Yeah. And you do have orcs to contend with, but they're futuristic orcs, which they don't play. They will drag you off, kidnap you, kidnap people from your team, ransom them back to you. See all this stuff they just left out? You can do this as a first-person shooter. It just doesn't work. Anyway, the Kickstarter is up. Go over and check them out on Kickstarter. It's Cliffhanger Productions. And if you want to give them some support, I'm not giving them some support until they give me a full-on MMO. That's what I want. See the hacker.
No support for you.
Yeah, I want to be the hacker, and I need Ginger and Snow and Blaster to be the rest of the team, and I'm going to hack and do what we need to do.
That, oh, yes.
Let's shut it down.
Yes, let's do this. Let's do this.
Yes. What you got, Jimmy?
What have I got? Hold on, let me paste this really quick because I was pasting a story. People multitasking all day long.
plus five, multitasking for you.
Yes. All right, I've got some bad news this morning. Oh. Bad news for Capcom employees. Capcom cuts 7% of staff from Vancouver studio.
Oh.
Yeah, Capcom has confirmed that it has laid off a number of employees at its Vancouver-based studio, though it did not disclose a specific headcount. Capcom Vancouver has let go 7% of our employees as a result of unsuitable fit with the studio's goals. This came via Twitter, the company's Twitter, by the way. Capcom went on to say that the studio is still looking to hire new talent, presumably talent that fits in with the studio's new direction, whatever that may be. Capcom acquired its Vancouver studio in 2010 when it was called Blue Castle Games. The studio is best known for developing Dead Rising 2 off the record. All right, so that sucks. We're sorry for you 7% who lost your jobs, but there are 6 people out there who just got their jobs back. Can I do this one? Because it's another one.
Go ahead.
EMA reappoints 6 board members. The Entertainment Merchants Association has reappointed board members from 6 companies, including Dish Network, Giant Eagle, Rain City Video, Redbox, Rintrack, and Target, have been reappointed to the board for a term of 3 years. The board members of the trade group representing retailers, entertainment, rental companies, and entertainment companies join existing board members Amazon, Best Buy, Emerald City Video, Gamefly, GameStop, Hastings Entertainment, Ingram Entertainment, Netflix, Toys R Us, Trans World Entertainment, Video Headquarters,
Go, Ginger, go!
At Walmart. We are grateful to our members who have volunteered to help steer the association in this important time in our industry. This is coming from Bo Anderson, President of EMA and CEO. We value their guidance and our leadership and look forward... We value their guidance and leadership and look forward to continuing to work with them. Ingram's Bob Geisman has also been reelected as chairman for an 8th consecutive term. Da, da, da. All right, you know what? I thought this was going to be better. This is not better. This is boring. I don't care about this. Sorry, my bad. My bad. Good job. You got reelected. Good job on getting that over my little filters. I thought that was going to be good.
Congratulations. That's the Italian for congratulations. I think, anyway. I might have just made that up. Anyway. Brains. Yes. I don't know, EA. This might be one you do right. I'm really not sure. But for those of you who are Sim fanatics, I'm looking at you, Joe. I'm looking at all the people on the Sim watch list there on Facebook that I'm a member of that group. Hope you guys are paying attention. Yes. Today it has been officially announced. The next Sims expansion pack, which will be called Supernatural. Yes, just like the show. And yes, I will be making me a Jensen Ackles and Jared Padalecki Sim to play with at my leisure. But they've announced in The Sims 3 Supernatural there will be zombies. That's right. Zombies, people, and fairies.
Why always the fairies?
I don't know. I don't know.
Seriously, what was that the other day? Like unicorn riding fairies with...
No, that was crazy fairies. Crazy yeah. Fairies rock, so that's where the ninja is, by the way, I talked about yesterday. Okay, so in case you don't know anything about fairies, fairies are supposedly very fickle and magical supernaturals with an innate connection to the natural world. From the start of the game, fairies will naturally appear as human-like creatures with fluttering rings. Through special interactions, they'll be able to transform into their true form, which resembles a glowing insect that is minuscule in size. So yes, you people have been begging for this for 3 incarnations of The Sims that you would get fairies, and you got them. We had dragons in the first ones. I'd like to have my dragon back. I'm just saying.
Are you sure?
Yes, I love that dragon. I would have him set everybody that came to my house on fire. It was hilarious. But anyway.
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay, so fairies, you, of course, can create and create a sim, but you have some customization options they'll be adding that range from choosing the shape and color of their wings to adjusting the pointiness of their ears. Cute, right? Fairies often bestow... Fairies often bestow gifts to others, and they carry special auras that increase their skill as well as the skills of those around them. So in contrast to lithe and sprightly fairies, The Sims 3 Supernatural introduces some new moaning and roaming zombies. Moaning and roaming, baby. Zombies. These lumbering creatures have just 2 things on their minds. You know what it is. Brains, and they also eat grains, apparently. As they shuffle through the neighborhood, zombies attempt to nibble on Sims and picket their well-manicured planter boxes. Not even other supernatural Sims are immune to zombification. So you could, in theory, have a vampire, ghost, zombie fairy Sim. That's right. A bite from one of these brain-hunger creatures can leave your Sims with a temporary or long-lasting effects. They're saying you will be able to create them and create a Sim, but you also have zombification that can occur in a variety of different ways. So you should be on the lookout for a zombie attack at all times, they say. They said you can use
Can't you always be on the lookout for a zombie attack? Just saying.
Well, apparently our Sims didn't have to worry about it before, but now you do. You could use the alchemy table to brew a zombification elixir and throw it at another Sim, which is all kinds of hot. I love that. Or
they brought bath salts to the Sims.
They brought bath salts. Or you can...
killed Corey.
Oh, my God. Or a Sim can be bitten by a meandering zombie. Now, if your Sim is hit with zombification, they say don't fret. There is a cure. You can find all the correct ingredients and brew the elixir to change them back. And knowing me, I never will. You can also arm your Sim's lot with some plants versus zombies pea shooters to prevent zombies that are on the attack. And this new pea shooter object comes included in the limited edition version, which will be available to those of you. Oh, wow. Excuse me. I'll pull the snow then for those who pre-order. In addition, the pea shooter that comes with it will include some creepy, chic, iconic apparel from the world of plants versus Simbies, apparently. Simbies. Zombies. Yeah, you know what? I just gave them a name. Zimbies. There you go. Simbies. They're Sims and zombies.
Simbies.
I cannot wait to play with the AI engine on this because the one thing, even though EA is a devil at, they're good at is digital DNA and AI, which means I want to see a zombie bite one of my horses. Yeah, and then I'm going to have the horses mate and see if I can get a zombie pony.
Horse?
A zombie pony.
Pony.
Yes.
Zombie pony.
That's what I want. Or I will crossbreed some of the humans too. But that wasn't so much fun with
the horse?
Not with the human. Not with the horse. You know, they don't do that. No, I mean the humans. I crossbred a vampire and a ghost, and that was a horrible mix. I will never do that again. And I can't kill him for some reason. I've tried everything to kill this. He just moans all the time, just about everything. It's what's wrong with you?
But I have no teeth and I'm hungry.
His bar says he's happy, but so I don't know why he's always moaning. And I tried to send him out in the sun. I tried to bury him. I don't know what to do. I'm going to have to use the cheat code and delete it. I did. I tried everything. He will not stop crying and moaning. He won't go away. So, yeah. This is going to be good. So I'm going to make one that's a vampire zombie. You know.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
It's going to be fun.
Wow.
And, again, if you haven't played The Sims, you are missing out on fun. I know some of
you. So this one won't just, like, munch your brain and, like, suck it out with a straw.
Oh, knowing them as EA, he probably will. There'll probably be a whole juice box aspect, and he'll... I think Paddy Carey needs to be a zombie. I'm just saying.
Oh no, poor Paddy Carey.
A superstar zombie. You know, the real Katy Perry would probably love that.
She is awesome. She's awesome.
I do like.
And on that topic, I read a whole interview with Russell Brand yesterday. Him talking about what went wrong, and he's a jerk. I have lost all respect for him.
I never had any respect for him. I just liked his accent. But his voice has changed or something, so I don't even like to hear him talk anymore. Shut up, Russell.
I don't even want to hear him talk, see him talk, nothing. You know, and I love me some English boy accent. But
yes, we know.
Shut up.
Look here. I'm just saying, I'm right there with you.
Oh, yeah. That's true. yeah, but no, he's a jerk. All right, so on to better things.
Did you just clarify who's a jerk?
Russell Brand is a jerk.
I see. I gave you a chance to save yourself just then. Anyway, go carry on. Carry on, madam.
More QuakeCon 2012 details revealed, with QuakeCon kicking off on August 2nd, which I'm hoping to go to. Hopefully, we'll see. Organizers decided that now is a good time as any to detail some of these special things going on at the annual event dedicated to the ID Software's beloved first-person shooter franchise. With ZeniMax now owning the studio responsible for Quake and Doom, you can expect to see some games in the works from ZeniMax Online and Bethesda as well. Attendees will probably want to check out several discussion panels featuring ID Software executive producer Marty Stratton, president and CEO of Insomniac Games Ted Price, writer Chet Folasek. You know what, Chet? I'm sorry. You're just Chet F from now on, okay? For Tom Leonard from Valve and Spike TV's Game Trailers host Jeff Kylie.
It's Jeff Kylie.
Kylie. All right. I was right the first time around. The event will also offer a show floor showing off various exhibitors' games as well as taking part in a number of game tournaments. QuakeCon attendees will have the opportunity to play Dishonored, the supernatural assassin action game from Arkane Studios, and Doom 3 BFG Edition, a full collection of Doom games from id Software. Both will be playable at Bethesda's booth in the exhibit hall. General admission for QuakeCon is free, but the official site offers a number of packages that promise attendees various perks and access to special events. You can find out more about that, including how to get to the event, at QuakeCon.org. Pre-registration for the event ends July 23rd.
I'm sorry. I am laughing at Horace. He quoted you. They brought bath salts to The Sims, and his hashtag is chomping on your face.
Nice.
Wrong. You laugh today. It's not funny.
That's awesome.
Something is wrong with you people. All right.
And that's too cool.
Well, here's something that's geeky, kind of techy, kind of, yeah, very short because, you know, some of you like to send us a paragraph. I don't know why. Melbourne researchers are now, Melbourne researchers are now simulating in 3D the motion of the complete human rhinovirus. If you don't know what the rhinovirus is, that's fancy talk for cold. The most frequent cause of the common cold on Australia's fastest supercomputer is what they're using, paving the way for new drug development. The IBM Blue Gene/Q will provide extraordinary 3D computer simulations of the whole human rhinovirus for the first time, enabling researchers from St. Vincent's Institute over in Melbourne, Australia, to delve deeper into the mechanisms at play inside a human cell, particularly how drugs work at a molecular level. There's going to be bad fallout from this, I'm just telling you. I already see it coming, but on the other hand, I would be happy to never have another cold again in life. Of course, that makes it difficult to call off sick from work when you never get sick. I have a cold. No, they abolished, you know, they got rid of colds like 5 years ago. That is not going to work.
I sprained my wrist.
My fingers hurt.
I sprained my wrist.
My eyelashes hurt.
My eyelashes hurt?
Yes, my eyelashes are hurt. That's going to be my new work excuse. My eyelashes hurt.
Well, all right. All right, so bad news possibly for Mega Upload. The New Zealand judge overseeing Mega Upload case steps down.
Oh, no.
The New Zealand judge overseeing the extradition of Kim.com, the founder of file-sharing site Mega Upload, has removed himself from the case after comments about the U.S. government being the enemy caught up to him. Last week at the NetHui conference in Auckland, Judge Harvey said that New Zealand had met the enemy and he is the U.S., The reference was related to how the U.S. handles copyright cases, and I'm sure there are plenty of people over in California that funded this that were like, no, we got to get him out. Sorry.
You know they did.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it was. You want this money? You're going to fire him, or at least make him step down. The media picked up on his comments, which ultimately brought into question his ability to be impartial in the extradition proceedings, which have been pushed to early next year. Yesterday, the chief judge of the New Zealand District Court announced that he had removed himself from the case and that a suitable replacement would be found. The writer goes on to say, it is a real shame because many consider Judge Harvey one of New Zealand's leading authorities on copyright and internet law. Dude, you know the world is too small to be running your mouth like that. And you are in a position that you know you shouldn't be running your mouth like that.
This is true.
And I was really hoping you were going to give our government a good smackdown.
Well, he started out that way, and then he got a little too haughty. Got a little too uppity,
yeah.
Boy.
Mm-hmm. What happened?
Got too highfalutin. Okay.
Highfalutin. Oh, my God. I love you, Koi.
Well, they did get highfalutin.
That's true.
All right, those of you who want to do some video chatting via your phone, we did tell you yesterday you can probably use Google Chat, but in case you're not really one of those Google Chat people, here's another option for you. Tango! That's right. After gaining notoriety... You have Tango? That app?
Mm-hmm.
Well, after gaining notoriety for its popular cross-platform video chat app, meaning a ginger can talk to snow on her iPhone and all that kind of business, Tango has decided to tackle a decidedly lower tech challenge, text messages. Interesting, right?
Yay.
With the latest update, users will be able to send and receive free, that said free, did I say free, text messages in a streamlined interface that also includes Tango's video messages. By adding text messages, Tango hopes to be the one app that you'll use to stay in touch with your friends and loved ones. CTO and co-founder Eric Sutton told Our Peoples over at VentureBeat in an interview last week that text messages also puts Tango in the company with the likes of Facebook Messenger and Apple's iMessage, though Facebook doesn't have video chat capabilities yet. We know that they're working on it. I think I saw something sneak up in my – anyway. Yeah, but anyway, iMessage doesn't work, of course, outside of iOS. Seton also told also said Tango now has 55 million registered users already, with 40% of them being active in the last month. The company has apps available for iOS, Droid, and Windows Phone, and Windows PCs. Cross-platform functionality is one of Tango's greatest strengths. Seton demonstrated how a text message and video message from an iPhone instantly appeared on the Droid. Ooh, sexy. As part of the update, Tango will also be making video messages entirely free. Previously, the company had a very complicated method of charging you for using video messaging. And to spice things up a bit, you can also send Tango's surprises within the message interface as well, which is a little short, fun-filled animations that we all love as gamers and geeks. Palo Alto, California-based Tango has raised around $87 million in funding, most recently from a $40 million third round in April. Investors include Draper Fisher, Jervetson, Michael Birch, Michael Birch, Andy B, because I'm not saying your last name, and Bill Hambricht. So I don't think they're going to be You guys better get more than 87 million. You got at least three companies that are coming after you, starting with Skype.
Yeah, and I'm using another one. It's called WhatsApp that does that. I don't know if it does video.
Is it cross-platform, though?
It is cross-platform, yes.
Okay, so they have that company coming after them that's probably smaller. You've got...
And Tango tends to crash on me just randomly.
Well, they may clean it up.
They better clean it up.
You got all the cell phone companies are coming after you. Apple's going to come after you because you're giving away free text messaging and video. Microsoft's going to come after you. I forgot they own Skype. So, you guys better get some money quick. Do it. Whatever you're doing, do it quick. I hate to see you get smacked down. Ooh, that's going to be an ugly, ugly fight. Oh, you know somebody's going to step in. You stole this from us, and you take that video chat down instantly. Free video chat. How dare you?
How dare you? How dare you?
How dare you give people free stuff?
And how dare you copy and infringe? Oh, yes. Nah. Chinese developer accused of infringing on... Did we already talk about this on Torchlight?
Go ahead and tell us. I don't think we...
Sounds kind of familiar. Travis Baldry, president of Runic Games, is publicly calling out Chinese mobile developer EGLS for stealing art assets and sound files from his company's game Torchlight. The game in question is an iOS-based massively multiplayer game called Armed Heroes Online. Baldry noticed the striking similarities in character art from the game and Torchlight and took to Twitter earlier this month to point it out. So wow, this game is releasing on the App Store. They wholesale stole most of the assets from Torchlight. Shortly thereafter, Baldry compiled a side-by-side image of art assets from Torchlight and Armed Heroes Online to show that this was more than a mere coincidence. And I'm looking at these pictures. Wow. Torchlight did it better, of course. Baldry claims that his company is looking into some legal recourse against the company and to ultimately get it pulled from the Apple App Store in Canada, where it is still currently available despite the very public controversy about the game. A response from a person claiming to be a representative from EGLS was posted on the official Touch Arcade forum. He, or possibly she, tried to mount a defense and denied that the company had engaged in copyright infringement. We can hardly agree with Mr. Travis Baldry, who judged that EGLS wholesale stole most of the assets from Torchlight, only based on the similarity between several small monsters. The judgment is simply untenable. Baldry also took it upon himself to download the game and look at its guts. What he found were more indications of theft from Runic's game, sound files that were lifted wholesale and inserted into Armed Heroes Online, complete with misspellings found in the original Torchlight sound files. Oh my god, that's not cool, people.
Ooh.
Giant Bomb has even more dirt on EGLS, which ultimately leads nowhere because of the company's dodgy web presence and equally dodgy employees who are mostly being silent on the matter.
Oh.
You know, if you're going to copy something, how hard is it to change the file names?
It apparently is very hard.
Are you lazy people? You can't even steal anything right. People.
Y'all made the ginger almost go up in the high register.
Almost. My voice is like, has been trying to go the last 2 days, so there's no way I'm hitting that high register today.
That's why I talk in the slow voice.
No. I voice in general.
Well, see, lovely people, a quick announcement. Those of you who love you some Guild Wars need to know you can pre-order, which we don't believe in here, but some of you like it. You can pre-order here so that you can get into the beta this coming Friday, and it launches August 28th. Enjoy. Also, those of you who have Xbox Live need to know Xbox Live is beefing up their security.
Mm-hmm.
Xbox Live General Manager Alex Garden detailed a series of security improvements that Microsoft has made to our favorite online service course. Some of the big changes. Can I speak? One of the biggest changes is that they said they've increased notifications to members whose accounts may be compromised to add proofs, update their passwords, and if necessary, contact Xbox support. They said this helps their team lock down an account quickly, investigate, and restore the account to the rightful owner. They've also taken legal action to pull down online posts of gamer tags. Gamer tags, usernames, and passwords gathered from malware or phishing schemes to help protect members. I did warn some people about that. Our girls out there, I know you want to call the guys out, but you can't. That gets you in trouble. You can put their words up, but not their gamer tag. Always remember that, people. The Xbox Live Spring Update also included Many behind-the-scenes improvements that is supposed to help them build on security enhancements for the future. They're also sending unique codes to the security phone numbers and secondary email addresses provided by members to verify authorization for any Xbox.com purchase or account change attempts not stemming from a member's trusted device. They're also working to reduce market incentives for criminal activity. Engaging in identity theft, trading in stolen accounts, and committing credit card fraud are illegal, and they say it violates your terms of use. Those involved in these activities risk criminal prosecution, account and console bans, and that goes for both sellers and buyers of known stolen accounts and content. And they say, most importantly, many of their security enhancements and recovery processes are dependent on you members having up-to-date security information in place. So make sure all your stuff is up-to-date. They want you to take at least 5 minutes to check your security information, your email, and update if necessary. They said if you have any lost or stolen security proofs, update them now to prevent any interruption to your Xbox Live service in the future. They only want to use this information for your security. No marketing or advertising. You know, I got to give Microsoft their due. When they say they will come after you if you steal an account, they really do. I can't speak for Nintendo. Nintendo generally doesn't have those problems about people stealing their stuff. And, well, Sony, you know, your whole company got stolen. So, but it's the truth. But I know Microsoft is very much about, they know people are out there doing things, stealing Microsoft points, and they do not play around. And if you think you're safe or I'm fine, you know, I got my Xbox, what are they going to do to me? What's the worst that can happen? They can brick your Xbox from afar, as in it will go red ring of death. I have seen this happen. You do not want this.
That'd be horrible. That'd be so sad. No.
Not for the person that didn't get bricked, but if you're doing something wrong and then talking smack about it, that's the other thing you don't want to do. There's a bunch of smartasses that work at Microsoft, let me just tell you. I love them, all smartasses. That's why they're friends with me. So you like smartasses, but you don't want to talk smack. You want to be as nice and as sweet as you can possibly be, because it'll be like, oh, you had something to say. Bloop. Why is my Xbox red ringing?
Oh no. More DRM, or DRM. Always on, maybe. Epic not ruling out always on requirements for Fortnite.
Oh, bad move.
Yeah. Epic Games producer Tanya Jessen has said that the company has not ruled out the possibility of requiring that users always be connected to a server in order to play its upcoming zombie survival game, Fortnite. While digital rights management is a factor, Jessen says that the company does... But what the company does will be more dependent on gameplay and platform. That's something we don't know yet, says Jessen. It's going to be really dependent on gameplay, and it's also dependent on platform, the method of game of getting updates and stuff like that. So I can't say for sure, one way or another, whether or not we're going to use it. Of course, Fortnite is mostly a multiplayer game, at least according to previews, so it's hard to compare its always-on usage to games like Diablo 3, which offer a single-player component. But if the requirement is strongly tied to some of the sort of DRM, then that is a different debate.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm just coughing my head off this morning. Fortnite is a game that is being developed as a co-op experience primarily. That's our number one focus. This is a game you're going to want to play with your friends, and it's most fun with your friends. So whatever we decide to do there is going to be more relevant to the most fun experience you can have with your friends than it is to piracy, but I can't nail that down today, and that is what Justin has to say about it. I hate always on. I think this whole thing is ridiculous.
I think this one slipped by us for some reason, so I'm actually trying to find out what the game is about. Is this something I want to play? Am I going to risk, you know? Do I really want to risk the always on?
Well, what we saw, I think we saw this from E3, I want to say, and it looked like a lot of fun.
Well, it says create. You know what this looks like? Remember the game I was trying to get you guys to play, Dead Block?
Yes.
That's what this looks like, but a little bit, you know, graphically different is what I'm seeing. You can go to FortniteGame.com if you want to take a look at it. Yeah, this is interesting. But it still looks a lot like Dead Block. It's a zombie. It looks like a zombie survival game. They don't really have anything up about it. It's just a trailer.
Oh, that's so good. We need more info. We need more.
I do need more info. I don't like the always on thing at all. I need y'all not to do that. Seriously.
No, don't become EA, okay?
Well, EA learned the hard way. I told y'all those Sim people do not play. You do not mess with their Sims. Yes, yeah, I remember this. We did see the trailer. This is pretty much Deadblock. So you know what they're going to have to contend with over at Epic Games? I don't know who developed Deadblock, but I'm pretty sure once they see this, if this game does well, they're coming after them. I'm about 85% sure this is going
to
happen.
I hate to say that the market is overrun with zombie games, but...
Well, this is a little different in that... Remember we were talking about we wanted a MMO kind of thing where it was actually survival, where you had to go out and get food and stuff. Deadblock kind of plays on that in that you actually have to defend against the zombies, not just shoot them, but you got to build the traps or build the thing to block and keep them out, and then fight and keep everybody safe. So that's what Deadblock is, and that's what I'm looking at. This one is the same. So you find things and then you build boards over the windows or things like that to keep the zombies out. So it is different. They didn't go all the way to the hilt with it, which is, like I said, you should have made. I'd like them to cross paths with a little bit of a simulator, kind of like, well, what was it, Zombie Lane that we played? Zombie Lane?
Yes. God, I loved Zombie Lane.
Yeah, where you have to get the food, you got to build stuff to keep them out, you got to keep your people safe. And then I would like to see if somebody got bit, they start changing. Maybe you got 3 minutes real time to, get them the elixir before they change and you lose control of your character.
Oh my God, fun.
But this one, very much like Deadblock, and I am willing to bet those people at Deadblock are going to come after them. I mean, it even looks graphically similar to Deadblock. This is going to be juicy. That's all I got to say. It's going to be so juicy.
Yeah.
All right. The people over, the creator of Half-Life has some choice words about fiction in the game industry. Basically, he says it sucks. Actually, I'm kind of misquoting him, but that's my way. That's the way I interpreted it. He says the closest touchstone for Dishonored should be BioShock. A game from 2007 speaks volumes to the stagnating creativity of video games. As celebrated art maestro Viktor Antov put it when he told Eurogamer, it's been a poor 5 years for fiction in the video games industry. And he should know, because he created Half-Life 2's iconic City 17, not to mention now he's making the game Dishonored. He said there's been too many sequels. Hell yes. And too many IPs that have been ruling the market. He said a lot of them are war games, and they're great projects and great entertainment, but there's a lack of variety today. Preach, brother, preach. Amen. He told us, perfectly framed by his trench coat, he told Eurogamer, perfectly framed by his trench coat, thick glasses, and stylish, messy center parting. He said, so you step out of this established genre, people cannot grasp it, or the press tries to find a match. He said there are a place for thousands of different subgenres and genres. Imagine the times when you were in the 40s and there were Westerns in Hollywood cinema. There were so many of them that none of them will be compared with one another because there was a genre. He says, we're doing a historical piece, a retro-futuristic piece, which has pretty much nothing to do with BioShock because Dishonored is being compared to BioShock. He says, but it has references to the past, and unfortunately BioShock and Dishonored are the only two games that go into that fiction for the past. How many years? How many years since we've had anything different? He says, so lack of variety in what's in the market leads to associations like this. There should be more historical, realistic worlds out there. He says, and too bad there aren't. I was expecting there to be 20 games like this. BioShock Infinite and Dishonored were on course for October 2012 clash until BioShock Infinite was delayed. He says, I didn't have any thoughts about that. I always love a good competition art-wise, and I'm very confident about the qualities of Dishonored, but I have no joy or sadness about the specific date. I like him. Formerly, Antov is a visual design director for Bethesda's owner, ZeniMax, and he makes sure that the level of visual design and fiction come out of studios like ID Software, Bethesda Game Studios, and Arkane is the highest possible. He says, I'm not a harsh critic of games. I'm extremely happy where the technology has gone, but artists and art directors should make their own life a little bit harder by pushing management to take more artistic risks and use technology to a better, higher level. That's what I've been doing and suffering by. I've been spending as much time creating as convincing the people who are financing games how important that is. Since we're always waiting for the next generation of great worlds or great graphics, well, great graphics came. The worlds that came up with these graphics are not up to the level of the graphics. I completely agree with you, good sir.
Fallen Earth.
Fallen Earth has so many layers. Are you saying that you don't think they do well with this?
No, I think they do very well. I think, you know, he's pulling out all these companies, and I'm saying Fallen Earth, a great game, great graphics, great story, great imagination.
They really put their heart into it. I don't know what to... I got to agree with him, and we'll probably talk more about this tonight, because you know it's Thursday. This Week in Gaming is tonight.
It is. Oh, my God. It is.
It'll be one of our things that we discuss, you know. I've been saying a long time, I am bored. There's only so much war game I can play. And even when I play them, it has to be a Medal of Honor, because at least Medal of Honor is not set in now.
Yes, exactly.
And it adds, it makes it harder for me to play, because I don't, not to say I understand how the weapons now work, but if you watch enough TV, you kind of figure out, I cock it, I pull it, I shoot it. Whereas back in the old days, that was not enough. You had to figure in trajectory. How far away is it? I have to aim up a little bit so that the bullet comes down on the person, or aim lower so that it, or ricochet it off of something. So that's the only way I enjoy the war games, sadly. Anyway, I cannot wait to see Dishonored. And again, we'll be talking about this later tonight, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Make sure you're there. You're welcome to chime in. You can call in, sit in, all that good stuff. Come sit with us.
Yes. Come visit us. It'll be a lot of fun. It'll be great.
Do it.
All right, there is some money up for grabs. Wargaming announces details for the second annual International Ural Steel Championship 2012 held in Moscow, Russia. Registration opens today for the premier World of Tanks competition and the chance to win $77,000. Wargaming, the award-winning game developer and publisher, announces the opening of registration for the upcoming International Ural Steel Championship 2012. Registration begins today and will continue through July 31st, 2012. World of Tanks has become a global esport discipline, says Victor Keisley, Wargaming CEO. The game is turning into a massive communication platform that merges together gaming communities of different countries and regions. 16 teams of the world's best World of Tank gamers from America, Russia, Europe, China, and Southeast Asia will compete on 6 battle maps for their shot at the bragging rights of Ural Steel Championship 2012 winner, and a prize purse of $77,000 USD. The grand finals will take place on September 15th through the 16th at CSKA Sport Arena in Moscow, Russia. The tournament is organized by Wargaming in partnership with Ural Vagon Savod, one of the largest scientific and industrial complexes in Russia, and the largest tank manufacturer in the world, and in association with the Russian Cyber Sport Federation. Keisley says, we'll continue to encourage and support esport events like Ural Steel in the future, providing attractive prizes and contributing our skills and knowledge to make these events even more exciting. That's awesome. All right, so if you want to sign up for that, I've got the link for you, but I'm going to make you go get it over at GameAndAtrix.com this morning. So head over there, just a couple of minutes, and I'll have it up for you.
Yeah, I love the fact that when I'm muted.
That's fine. I was just going to kind of bounce and sing.
All right. Well, Pirate Bay is looking at the UK ISP ban and going, Arr, you never take us alive. That's right. Pirate Bay says the ban that you tried to place, or the UK tried to place upon them, is ineffective. An unnamed but major internet service provider has reported that the recent ban of file-sharing site Pirate Bay has been completely ineffective.
Wow.
We saw a fall at the time of the block, made more dramatic by the increasing amount of such traffic in the weeks leading up to it. This is what a source told the UK BBC. It said, but volumes are already pretty much back to where they were before. It clarified it was referring to traffic volume, not user numbers, according to... GDI.biz, back in May, representatives of Pirate Bay were defiant in the face of a high court ruling forcing UK ISPs to block it. He said, don't forget that we the UK said, don't forget that we can't allow this bleep to happen next time they're coming for something. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Pirate Bay said that. We can't allow this bleep to happen next time they're coming for something else. And, yes, there will be a next time if we don't stop them. Virgin Media was the first UK ISP to block the website, although users can still access the site through VPN services or TOR. We said that. We didn't want to give it away. Remember you searched it? I was like, no, we can't say.
Yeah.
We can't tell them how, but we will tell you there are ways. Oh, my God. UK, you are guys are supposed to be leading by example. We expect for you to.
To what?
Lead by example.
To lead by example? Nah. I don't expect much from this, so... You know, it's Pirate Bay, and I understand that some of these companies really need to rethink their business strategies, because you're dealing with a weakened economy, and you're still wanting to charge an arm and a leg for your services, for your software, for whatever, and this is ridiculous. And some of these movies that are coming out nowadays, I'm sorry, no. Okay, so, I don't want to read this one. I was trying to put it off, but I have to, just because I hate it so much. 200 million of you people, 200 million of you people have RuneScape accounts. And y'all have played over 7 billion hours of gaming. RuneScape is a hugely popular and multi-award-winning free-to-play massively multiplayer online adventure game. Today made video game history once again by announcing that it now has over 200 million registered player accounts. RuneScape has experienced a meteoric level of success since it was first released in 2001. The game was one of the original pioneers of online multiplayer gaming and has continued to innovate and evolve over the years, ensuring RuneScape's pole position at the forefront of free-to-play gaming today. Accessible directly from any browser and set in a distinct, richly detailed medieval fantasy world, RuneScape offers a truly contemporary, innovative, and original gaming experience for millions of players across the world every day. The game content evolves weekly and is as fresh and entertaining today as it was when it was first launched. Oh my god. This is painful. It hurts me. It really does. It physically hurts. During the last 10 years, RuneScape's virtual world has welcomed 200 million adventurers from more than 150 countries around the world. If RuneScape were a country, it would be the fifth largest population in the world, and the game's over 200 million inhabitants have clocked up in excess of 443 billion minutes of gaming so far. Oh my god.
It's all right, Ginger.
Yeah, to mark this record-breaking achievement, Jagex, makers of RuneScape, have designed a suitably epic in-game celebration for all. Additionally, a 200 million celebration microsite has been launched, featuring an interactive timeline detailing the game's evolution over the past decade, a host of community testimonial videos, and an eye-catching infographic revealing a plethora of mind-blowing statistics mapping out the sheer size, success, and popularity of the game. All right, so if you want this link, I'm not going to give it to you here. You've got to go over to GameMatrix.com and get it.
You're not going to give it to him here?
No, I'm not going to give it to you, baby.
Yeah.
Anyways,
it's too early, Ginger.
I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't do anything.
Uh-huh. Sure.
You're going to have to come get it.
You know what?
What?
Yeah, I'm going to talk to you later.
I didn't do anything.
Get ethnic. No, ma'am. All right. Some of you love living in the colonial age. I guess so. I don't know why. Wasn't there dysentery or something going on? I don't know. Anyway, today, InnoGames announced an additional age.
Dysentery.
Ew. They announced additional age for a strategy browser game, Forge of Empires, the colonial age. The new age comes with additional military units and buildings, some of them already displayed in graphics published along with the release. An update containing the colonial age is planned to go live within the next month. Aside from that, InnoGames released updated information on several more features in the Forge of Empires blog. One of the features announced there are the great buildings. By collecting blueprints and with the help of friends and guild members, players will construct some of the most legendary buildings in history, like the Colosseum, the Angkor Wat, or the Notre Dame.
What?
I don't know what that is. I don't know. I know a lot of stuff. That's one I don't know. These buildings provide cities with significant stat boosts. Also, several new multiplayer aspects will enrich the game. Next to the friends list features and additional social interaction actions, fans of competitive multiplayer can look forward to live PvP fights and guild versus guild battle maps. Guild battles will involve a large number of players who can collaborate and fight each other. That's pretty much all PvP is. All these features are planned to be implemented within this year. Forge of Empires is a browser-based strategy game where players tasked with leading their own city to prosperity can research new technologies, build impressive historical buildings, and enlarge their sphere of influence through military campaigns and skillful dealing.
That I should have thought.
Mm-hmm. We know. The game has already... Yeah, there's five of me in here. The game has also recently been nominated as Best Browser Game at the European Games Awards. The awards are open for public votes until Monday, August 13th. You can go over and vote if you like at european-games-award.com if you're so inclined. They currently have more than 80 million registered users, and they're saying they're one of the world's largest and leading developers and provider of online games. And they are based out of Hamburg, Germany. And they've made such games as Tribal Wars, The West, and Gropolis. Gropolis, which I can never say. What is with the Tribal Wars? Did I play that? Like, I don't have enough to play. Ooh. I should not have gone here.
Oh, no. Have we lost you?
You may have. Oh, my God. It's too late for me. Save yourself.
Oh, no. No, Corey. No.
Run, girl, run.
All right. Vivendi taps Goldman Sachs and Barclays to sell off Activision Blizzard holdings.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. According to a Wall Street Journal report, Vivendi has tapped two investment banks to help it sell off the assets of Activision Blizzard. Vivendi wants to unload its majority stake in the company responsible for Call of Duty and World of Warcraft, which WSJ estimates is worth $8.1 billion. Vivendi is being assisted by Goldman Sachs Group and Barclays PLC, who are reportedly approaching potential buyers on behalf of Vivendi. One of the prevailing rumors is that Activision Blizzard might buy itself out. Other potential buyers, including Disney, Microsoft, Tencent, and Nexon, though these companies are unlikely to make such a large purchase. As Wedbush analyst Michael Pachter pointed out earlier in the month, it is unlikely that Vivendi will be able to find a buyer. Vivendi currently owns 61% of the Activision Blizzard. Yeah, and I read about this a couple of days ago. I could have sworn Disney said already, no, sorry, we're just going to walk away from this. And Microsoft, too. I don't know. Hey, yeah, if you happen to have $8.1 billion laying around.
I'm going to need some help getting away from this site. Curse you, Inno Games, curse.
I got another one.
Go ahead, I need help.
All right, since we're talking about Activision Blizzard, Blizzard to add new limits to Diablo 3 in the near future. According to a post on Battle.net forums, Blizzard plans to limit the number of games a player can create within a given time frame to
combat
just a spot. Yeah, I know, right? The company did not detail the number of games nor the time frame in which players would be limited. That roast is still in the proverbial oven. Whatever the parameters are, this change will happen in the near future. What they said exactly, we've further tuned and tested the conditions that trigger this limit to ensure, as much as possible, that it only affects those abusing the Diablo 3 game service in a way that violates the terms of use, for example, by using bots that create games in rapid succession. Use of bots not only impacts the stability of the game service, but it also has an impact on the player's driven economy. While we regularly take action against accounts for the use of unauthorized third-party programs and bots, this additional measure will help us further preserve and protect the integrity of the game and economy and in-between ban waves. Blizzard goes on to say that when the changes go live, they want to use Blizzard goes on to say that when the change goes live, they want to use their feedback on it, presumably to fine-tune it so that the restrictions are fair and don't ruin the game experience for players. Once this change goes live, we're looking for your feedback to help ensure that the limit is working as intended. If you encounter the input limit reached message and feel you should not have, please let us know how many games you are creating and why. This information will help us ensure the limit minimally impacts legitimate players while still protecting the game against bots. We'll continue to tweak the game limit as necessary, as well as continue to go after the few cheaters and botters that are out there in other ways. Our goal is to help ensure that Diablo 3 continues to be a fun gaming environment for all our players, and we're looking forward to hearing your feedback on this change once it goes live. Wow.
Okay, I'm about to rip somebody before we go.
Oh?
And it's a girl.
Who are we ripping?
They just sent us a lovely press release. And the game looks like it's actually great. But she has made a mistake, apparently, that a lot of people have made over the years in assuming that Corey is a boy's name and responding like a boy. So she sent us a press release for this lovely game, which I'm going to tell you about because I don't want the developers to be punished for this advertising manager's mistake. It's called Beach Boss. It looks like a simulator slash weird action game, but you basically you hang out on the beach and you try to sell stuff without getting caught. But you could buy diversions, collect starfish, blah, 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 blah. But here's where she made a mistake. The press release says there are some very nice chicks on the beach too, but beware, these babes are cray cray. Also, don't have muscles, tan, or winning smile to attract customers of the female variety. No worries, brah. The shop's got you covered. Really, Jenna? I'm about to email you and tell you she needs an education. Jenna needs an education about who we be, apparently.
She definitely does. And, oh, my God, are you seeing? We're actually getting comments on Blog Talk Radio.
Whoa. Ginger's my other hash during the morning. What's our comments up on BT?
Well, there's a certain Barmy person that tells you to bring it on. And then there's Carl F. Goslin who repeats my, I'm not going to give it to you, baby, and puts a smiley face.
Those have nothing to do with me. Those are all comments for Ginger.
Bring it on, Corey Roberts flexes. Yeah.
Have I not already cut you? Haven't we deja vu? Just cut you the second time. Don't get the same reaction.
All right. So it's our turn. My turn again, isn't it?
It's your turn.
Is it not my turn?
Right now I have an email ready to cut this person so that she knows never to send us an email like this again. But it's actually almost time for us to go.
Okay.
But I want to run some quick things about you. By you. Those of you who are looking forward to getting yourself a copy of Microsoft Windows 8, it'll be out October 22nd.
Yay!
You people that are waiting on a World of Warcraft film, and it was supposed to be done by Sam Raimi, and you were like, oh, it's going to be epic. Ah, he quit. So we'll be talking about that later on tonight. EA CEO says their stock dip makes absolutely no sense, and I did not know this. I will be selling mine shortly after the show. I like it. And there's some things we'll be talking about later tonight, like the people at Blizzard responding to the criticisms being made by Diablo 3. Did you just talk about that?
Yes, I did.
We got to talk about that again later.
All right, yeah.
We can really let loose.
I've got some friends that are ticked off over that.
I told y'all that was going to suck. I said it.
I know. Everybody's like, buy it, come play. No. No. Mm-hmm. I know how that one's going to end. No.
We know how this story goes. And the fact that I got hacked several times beforehand.
Mm-hmm. No. It's all right. All right.
So you people that – oh, I'm sorry. Well, you don't really need to know that. Well, we'll tell some of our girls out there who like to use apps to shop. There is a new patch for your Instagram called DreamWorks by a company called Pitched, which is supposed to help you with shopping or something. I don't really know. So anyway, we got a bunch of stuff to tell you about tonight. There are some things for you to mull over. Make sure you stop by GameAndChicks.com and GamerGirlsRadio.com and even here at Blog Talk, because we are everywhere and we are legion and we are many.
Yes, we're everywhere. We are legion.
See, Ginger will follow me into the depths of hell.
Yes,
I love this woman.
Yes, we are many. We are legion.
I love this woman. This is good.
I actually watched that the other day. So
Which one?
Oh, crap. What was the movie? There's Guy Fawkes in it.
No idea, but that particular quote comes from the Bible, Ginger.
Oh, did it? Hey.
Yes. It's from that's what the demons say or something. I don't remember what's going on. Anybody out there actually read that book? That Bible book? We got some mad people at us.
No. Not into that type of... Never mind.
Save it for later.
I'm going to bite my tongue because I will get people irate.
Yes. Save it for later. We can be irate later. All right. We will see you guys later. I think I need some of this. Intergalactic.